You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. For actor and writer Dan Hoyle, theater is part of his DNA. His father is veteran stage artist Jeff Hoyle, and Dan has several acclaimed one-man shows that not only make audiences laugh, but think. He's back at the Marsh for his latest production, Border People. The new solo show is based on conversations Dan had while traveling across the country in the wake of the last presidential election. He explores the lives of people who live on or across borders, both literally and metaphorically. Dan and all his characters sat down with KALW's Janae Darden to explain more.
It's funny because, I didn't learn to read until late, but I now, make my living with words. Mm-hmm. So, it was really all about that imagination and really being open to the world that I think was the big push for me.
So did your dad inspire you to go into acting, or was that something you naturally just wanted to do?
So when I was growing up, I was really interested in both journalism and theater. And when I went to Northwestern University, I was put off at first because it was all kind of very pre-professional, people trying to get ready to go into the industry. And it was a lot of like kids from the suburbs, I just felt like let's get some experience. So I would take the train into Chicago and get off at a random stop and walk around and talk to strangers. And from that, I sort of started to stumble my way into this journalistic theater process that I do now, which, I've been doing now for 15 or almost 20 years, and I've gotten better at it. But it was that original curiosity to say, wait, what's going on in the streets, and seeing those stories and being like, oh, I want to put this on stage. This is really interesting to me. I went down to the southern border and met these deported vets who fought or, were in the American military, often honorably discharged, but they were permanent residents, And this was back in the 80s when people had permanent residency cards and they didn't really worry about it,
Right.
And then they committed some sort of crime. They got convicted of a crime, usually nonviolent, often drug related, and I'm down there and this guy's like, yeah, man. Back in the day, the border, there was a fence, but I could be playing in my mom's backyard. She'd be like, man, go play with the grandparents. I'd be like, all right, bet. I go over, lift the fence up, whoop, be playing in my grandparents' backyard in Mexico. And then she'd be like, dinner time. I'd be like, peace, abuelo, whoop, lift the fence up, be back in the U.S. Wow. And so it's just all these amazing stories.
What was it like hitting the road and talking to all these people? I mean, Take us, is it romantic as it seems, to hit the road and go to all these places and talk to all these interesting people? Or
yeah, I mean,
were you in a van? Were you driving? Did you fly? Train?
I used to be able to go for months at a time before we had my son. So now I have to be pretty strategic about it. I go for a week at a time when I'm on the road. In the Bronx, I could just go up there and I develop relationships with people. But going to the southern border, for instance, and some of it is I know I'm going to meet these people and I have meetings set up. But really what I practice is the journalism of hanging out. So, we'll have an interview sometimes, and I use audio recording. I don't use film because I feel like it changes the interaction. But then I'll just hang out with people, and we'll barbecue and then we'll go get some wings or I found a character who inspired an amazing monologue based on his story. I was in the southern border and everyone's saying you need to get a rancher, talk to the ranchers. So I was calling up the Arizona Cattlemen's Growers Association and they weren't responding to my calls. Okay. Hey, I'm an actor and a playwright, so on and so forth. What, they're not calling me back. But I go to a gas station, I'm looking for ranchers. This woman gives me a phone number. I call the guy up. Yeah, come on down. And so I get to his place and I'm thinking it's gonna be most of the ranchers down there, big cattle ranchers. And he says, goats, not cattle, goats. Yeah, I've got 20 goats and chickens and 2 ponies, no electricity, no plumbing. And my house here, it's about 140 square feet. And it's this amazing survivalist who's living out there. And it turns out that he's a practicing pagan and that he's gay and that it culminates in this amazing moment where he talks about, everyone sort of thinks of him as being silly, but he says, maybe when the big drought comes and we have a major climate event, everyone's going to be saying, you know, that gay guy down the road harvesting sprouts and talking to his goats, he's doing fine. And it's just like this amazing, you know, connection with him and mm-hmm. this story. And it's like, wow, this guy crosses so many borders. So sometimes it's targeted and sometimes, you know, I just try to be open to the moment.
Wow. So many people have come into this studio since you sat down.
I hope so. Thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, people when they come to the show, they're like, wow, I feel like I really met people. And that's like, to me, that's the highest compliment because I'm really trying to honor those stories. And it's been great to be doing this show right now. You know, you read the news and you're like, oh my God, you feel paralyzed.
Yeah, it's daunting.
These stories really just break through all the rhetoric and they just show people are complex and their stories, you know, constantly surprise us.
Trump's election is one moment in history where you remember where you were. So I know you talked about the day after. Where were you when you found out he was elected and what was going through your head?
So November 8th, 2016 was my son's first birthday. So that morning we made him oatmeal, put a little number one in his oatmeal. My wife, I had him that morning and I went and took him to the park. We played in the leaves. It was a beautiful day. We had hung a little happy birthday banner under the TV and that banner was still up there. We were watching the election returns that night. And I took a photo of it because I was like, this is just, and it just felt like, okay, so this is the world my son is going to move into. And I felt like a real call to respond with empathy, with curiosity, and with tenacity and courageousness. And the characters I portray in this show, they all are that. Mm-hmm. My work also attracts people that are theater goers, but also people who are just interested in the mm-hmm. world, you know, mm-hmm. Who've traveled, who are curious, who, you know, and people often say like, it reminds them of those times when they were connecting with people, you know, especially in cross-cultural environments, you know, and how great that can be. All my shows, I should say, you know, they're kind of like a mix of comedy and hopefully poignant material. And I guess one thing I would say, which is interesting about this show, right now I feel like I've never connected to a show quite like this one. And I think part of it is because, you know, I'm kind of a border person too. You know, I cross cultural borders all the time. And all these characters that I'm playing, they feel like they just really resonate with me and who I am too. And that's pretty cool.
That was actor Dan Hoyle speaking with KALW's Janae Darden. You can catch Dan's latest one-man show, Border People, at The Marsh in San Francisco through August 30th.